Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Worthing. This message is by Clive Urquhart.
Well, good morning. Good morning, good morning. Everybody good? Thank you, Jesus. Thanks, guys, for leading us in worship. Bless you. Thank you. Now, as we just before we get into the word this morning, just want to ask Michelle Elliott. Michelle, where are you? Michelle. Do you want to come up? Just want to let's welcome Michelle, shall we? Just want Michelle to give a little bit of testimony. You sent us, Jane and I, a voice message yesterday. And just kind of share what God's been doing in you over the last few weeks, months.
So on Easter Sunday, those of you who will remember that Pastor Clive and Jane were talking about the prayer and the 50 days between Easter and Pentecost, and how we're, you know, we're going to step up the prayer and encourage to pray and see long-standing things shifted. And when we got home that day, my daughter Chloe, who's 14, said to John and I really believe that every day we're meant to pray after we've had dinner together and pray and see some long-standing things shifted and things change that we're living through. So John and I were like, yeah, absolutely, we'll do that. So we started every day after dinner just giving our lives to Jesus, just praying really simple prayers with the children, and started presenting our requests to God, as we're encouraged to do. And very quickly we started to see things change. And they're still ongoing, and the rest of my family have testimony too, but for now I shall just tell you what happened for me. So we were praying actually specifically for my health. It's something that I have struggled with for a number of years, and about 25 years ago I was diagnosed with what they called chronic migraine disease. So it was a type of migraine that didn't have an underlying cause, so couldn't be treated and was considered a incurable pain condition. And over the last 25 years has been very difficult. Not to give it any glory, but just to put things in context, it would put me out of action for maybe up to 10 days at a time, land me in bed. Sometimes my vision was affected and I couldn't see. It affects your whole body. It makes you very, very sick. And I've been on numerous medications, and anyone who has had that diagnosis understands it's a chronic pain condition that is very hard to treat. And I've been on cocktails of drugs and medications and seen specialists, and really nothing has shifted that. And I have been prayed for many times, and I've seen small bits change here and there. But I have to say that one thing that God had placed in me was this stubbornness, I guess, in the spirit to absolutely not accept that diagnosis. Never, ever, ever, ever accept that diagnosis. And to stand, and when you've done all you can to stand, you keep standing even when it's really, really tough. So I thank God that he did that in me, and I've never accepted or called it my own. It doesn't line up with the word of God. I don't have to have it.
That's right.
So yeah. Just to put that in context. So maybe a week after we started praying, God spoke to me about, he wanted me to read a specific book. Now, reading is something I had to give up probably 10 or 15 years ago because it would just kick off migraines. I just can't focus on words, on pages. I could maybe read a couple of pages and then I would suffer terribly. So it's something that I'd have to give up. But I said, okay, Lord, I said, well, I'm happy to read this book. It's a book I've read a few times that I absolutely love. But you know the situation, but I'm going to trust you. Well, I picked up that book and I read it cover to cover in about 4 days.
Praise God.
And so I thought, well, this is interesting. No pain, not a single pain, no eye strain, no neck problems, nothing. So I picked up another book and I read that cover to cover in about 3 days. So we're talking big chunks of time that I was able to focus on reading. And in the past 5 or 6 weeks, I think I'm on my fifth book now. So thank you, Jesus, that I've been able to read. And so probably about two, three weeks ago, I was like, Lord, if this is it, like, if this is your time, and I don't understand the timings of the Lord, but I totally trust that he sees the beginning from the end and that's the bigger right. picture, and his timing is always perfect. Yeah. And I said, well, I want to put this to the test a bit. And something else that I'd had to give up that I really loved was exercise. Other than walking, I wasn't able to do any kind of exercise for the past probably about four-ish years. Anytime I tried to do anything, I have chronic pains in my neck, and just it would really, really cause me to suffer for days and days and days on end, and it just wasn't worth it. And I've actually been told by chiropractors and that, you know, you just can't do certain things that involve your arms because it sets off those muscles and stuff. So two-ish weeks ago, I thought, I'm just going to give it a go. I'm just going to try it. So I did some exercise, gentle, but I tried, and I thought, I'll leave it a couple of days, I'll see how it goes. Well, I was absolutely fine the next day. So I thought, right, I'm going to try it again. And I have exercised 5 days a week for the past 2 weeks. I've not had a single problem. I've not had a single pain. And I really put it to the test. I went and played badminton with my kids last week. Something that, honestly, I could not do it. I would physically not be able to do it. Just the physical motion of moving like that. I would not be able to do it. It is 100% impossible for me to have done these things. It is completely a miracle, of which I am so grateful for.
Yeah.
And we're still seeing that worked out. So, yeah.
Brilliant. So good, eh? Thank you, Jesus. Do you want to say anything about more praying as a family or not? Or
I think that when Chloe said to us about praying as a family, I mean, it's something that we have done, but maybe not as regularly as we would like to or should have. And so actually having her prompt that, when it comes from your child, you take notice, right? You're kind of, yes, if they're hungry for this, then we will get on board with that. And so it's just been a really amazing time. And I think whenever you're obedient to God, blessings follow that. It's
right.
not possible
for
you to be obedient to God and stay in the same position. It's just not possible. His obedience to him opens doors. Obedience to him opens those gates. And that's when we start to see things shift. So we're actually, you know, that's part of our lives now. It's something that we will continue to do. And we've still got things to see change, but we've started to see the change.
Yeah.
And that's the important thing that keeps you moving and absolutely not accepting the situation or the circumstances that you find yourselves in.
So good. Come on, let's thank the Lord, shall we? Bless you, mate. Thanks. Wow. So powerful, eh?
Yeah.
You know, when God speaks and we respond, he then does what he says he's going to do. And sometimes we hear God or we hear something from the Lord and then we wait. And in that waiting, we're just waiting. Whereas when we respond, there's an activation of God to do what he says he's going to do. And the 50 days between Easter and Pentecost was something God clearly spoke to us. And I know others that have responded to that. We've heard some of the testimonies from the children recently, things that have been happening in the worship in other contexts. And some of you might still be facing some stubborn situations, some things that need to shift, things that need to change. And maybe hearing a testimony like that, you think, well, actually, I maybe haven't done something or haven't responded. It's never too late. Yeah. It's not like there was a window and you've missed it. I think God said, hey, 50 days, make that a focus, you know, go for breakthroughs, believe together, pray with one another. We're beyond that 50 days, but God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So no matter what the circumstances, no matter what might need to be shifted still, just keep responding to what God is saying. Do what he's saying to do. And if he says something like, you know, pray every day, have communion every day, or whatever it might be, just do what he says to do. Some of it might not make sense in the natural mind, but yet when God speaks and we respond, he then does something. Things shift, things change. Amen. So thanks, Michelle, just for sharing the story of what God's been doing. Great. Now, Colin brought a brilliant message last week as we're kind of launching into a got a new series, which I think the thing will come on the screen, about spiritual formation. Who are we becoming? And in one sense, we're becoming who we already are. The day you were born again, the day you gave your life to Jesus, you became the person he called you to be in terms of what he accomplished on the cross. The old has gone, the new has come. You're a new creation. You became that the day you were born again. And then it seems to be it takes the rest of our Christian life to discover how to live in all that God gave us and made us on day one. And we're learning, how do I live in that? How do I grow in that? How do I become all that I already am? It seems a contradiction, but that's the Christian life, right? Yeah. And Colin brought a brilliant message last week, just setting the scene for us to really continue on in what God has been saying and doing this year. As a church, and really wanting to cultivate a deeper relationship, prayer life with God, but also together corporately across all the congregations in the area. How do we cultivate together a stronger dynamic of prayer and body life because of the days that we're in? And it's all part of God strengthening the net of who we are for the harvest that is at the beginning, and we're going to see increasingly in the next 2, 3, 5, 10, 20 years. God's thinking beyond the moment. God's not just thinking in the moment, for the moment. He works in the moment, for the moment, so that we can step into the next moment towards all that he's promising and all that is on its way. Do you understand that? It's like, so God is in the now of our lives, and we live in the now today with God. But we also live in the now knowing that as we respond to him in the now today, that sets us up for stepping into the now when tomorrow comes and he speaks into tomorrow when it becomes today, because we've, if you're with me, he's gone forward. So that every day we're living in the today and the now of God. And when he speaks and says, this is what I'm bringing you into, this is what you're going to see in the coming months, years or whatever, that we live in the now so that every day we come into the more of God, into the today that he brings us into. Yeah. I don't know if that makes sense. Yeah. Or you're trying to get the drift of what I'm trying to say, right? And so next week, Colin's going to be speaking about solitude and silence. And you think, wow, you know, how many times, how do we have time with God? How do we live with God in a place, or spend time with him in solitude and silence? That sounds like a really passive thing, but actually it's very, very active. And he's going to unpack that next week. But to kind of partly set that up, and we're going to really look at today living in a place of rest, but also connect that with Sabbath. Yeah. And so Sabbath and rest, and just look at a few things in the Word and use a very pictorial analogy for what that looks like and what that means. Now, we live in an incredibly fast-paced world. Everybody, yes. COVID seemed to put the brakes on. And how many people, how many of us even, during that slower period said, wow, I need to change some things in my life. Things need to slow down. I need to put some things in perspective. When all this is finished, I'm going to make sure that I don't end up living at the same pace that I have been. Did anybody have that conversation in your own head and with other people?
Yes.
Now, how many of us over the last year or two or three years, things have just kind of picked up a bit, picked up a bit, picked up a bit? And how many of you kind of feel like, wow, yeah, that was a memory?
Yeah.
And now life seems to have a very different look to it. How many, you don't have to put your hands up. But it's very easy, isn't it, to pick up the pace again. And before you know where you are, we become a bit time poor, relationally poor, and other things, because we allow whatever in life to begin to increase and take over. And to live in a place of rest and Sabbath, in one sense, goes against the culture that we live in. And when we live in a place of rest, there's different aspects to what it means to live in rest, in the same way there is to do with Sabbath. So we're going to unpack both of those over the next sort of 20 minutes, 25 minutes or so, and just have a look and see, how do we live in a place of rest with God? Now, I've got three chairs, and some of you might have heard some of this before. We're going to try and put some of this in a different way. Many of you wouldn't have done as you're new to the church. We want to welcome the Crawley guys. They're all joining with us this morning. So welcome to everybody in Crawley. Now, this life here represents someone that doesn't know Jesus. This life here represents someone that does know Jesus and is living in what I call the great rest, okay, the rest of God. And this one is a believer, but is vacillating between the two and quite often tries to live in their own strength, okay? And we can call that self, if you like. So now, Jesus says this in Matthew 11. So all of us have been here. Maybe some of you here today, this is going to describe your life as to where you are at this moment in the life that you're living. But all of us at some stage have been here, okay? In terms of who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us, we are here, okay? And we're going to come on to this in this verse. So Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says this. In the context of Jesus speaking to the crowds, the people who weren't following him in that sense, in one way then, he says this, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." So this is the heart of God for people, for every person. Doesn't matter what colour, what race, what background, what faith or belief or none that they have. This is God's heart for people. "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." So what is he saying? He's saying there's a different way that you can live from the life that you currently have. What he's saying is, I want to take you from a place of weariness or burden or anxiety, fear, chasing this, that, and the other. Because in this life here, we are chasing. We're chasing the next thing, the next relationship, or the next car, or the next house, the next gadget, the next experience, the next whatever it is, to live a meaningful life, or to live the life that we think we should be living, to be who we think we should be. And how many of you got to the point in your life here where you asked the question at some stage, sooner or later, there must be more than this? Yes. How many of you lay in bed at night looking at the ceiling sometimes thinking, this is all good. I have got a nice house or car or whatever. Maybe some were desperate. My life is an absolute mess. It's a stinker. I don't know what to do with it. But how many of you looked up at the ceiling sometimes when you put your head on the pillow and thought, why am I here? What is this all about? Why am I alive? Anybody?
Yes.
Three of you. I'm sure there's more than that. There are many, many people out there who look at their pillow at night, the roof, the ceiling. What does Jesus say? He says, "Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Your soul is your mind, your emotion, your will. Your soul is who you are as a natural person, okay? And he's saying here, you will find rest for your soul. Many people live in turmoil in different ways. Many people have got loads of questions here. And Jesus says, when you move from a place being separated from me outside a relationship and you come into relationship, you will find rest in your soul. You'll find rest in your mind, in your emotions, in your life. You'll find rest in who you are. When you live here, your natural self, your soul life, your mind, emotions, your will, and your body, your physical life, that's expressing who you are in life, okay? The Bible, when you mix your soul life and your body, the Bible describes that as the flesh. So when you live outside of God, you are 100% all of the time living in the flesh.
That's it.
Your soul is the dominant factor. Your thinking, your opinions, your beliefs, your emotions, everything you feel and your experiences and everything else that add up to making your life expressed through your body, that's your soul and your body, and it's living in the flesh. Yeah. Your spirit is not alive to God. And what Jesus is saying here, in the midst of all of this and the power that sin has control in your life, I want to break the power of sin. I want to take you out of that world and that life and bring your soul, your whole being, who you are, into a place of rest and peace and shalom, total well-being. And in that process, when somebody surrenders their life to God and you say, Father, or you, and maybe they don't call him Father, but they say, God, I want to give my life to you, Jesus, I surrender everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I surrender and I cross over, as the Bible says in John 4, I cross over from death, or John 5, from death to life. At that moment, your spirit, because we are spiritual people, we're made in the image of God.
Yeah.
Your spirit in you comes alive because God comes to live in you. And suddenly life goes from black and white to color because you see things in a way you've never seen them before. How many of you, when you gave your life to Jesus, some of the turmoil disappeared? The unrest, the anxiety, the fear, the stuff left. How many of you know when you repented of your sin and you said, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of this and this and this. How many of you felt like a weight, a heaviness lift off? How many of you sensed on the inside, man, I feel clean in a way I've never felt clean. I feel like light. I've never felt this lightness. I've never experienced something like, I didn't know that was possible. People told me about it. But I'm now living in that. I'm experiencing that here. And the Bible calls that coming into the rest of God. The peace, the shalom, the well-being, the salvation of God. And Jesus says that in this place, my yoke is easy. And that burden is light. Okay? And so none of us want to go back there. How many of you want to go back to the life you had before?
No.
Anybody?
No.
Hopefully not. So when we come here, there are lots of scriptures, and from a time point of view, we're not going to go through them all. But when you surrender your life to Jesus, he brings you into the rest of God, okay? Now, this place, the idea of living in the rest of God is that we stop living in our own powered ability.
Yeah.
And that we now live in the ability, the power and the life of God, the Holy Spirit in us. So we now live by the Spirit and not by our own efforts and power in that sense. So the gift of God is salvation. The gift of God is coming into this place of rest, this place of well-being.
Amen.
How many of you, if you just sat back for a moment and closed your eyes, and you just took a moment in his presence and just let go of everything that might be concerning you, on your mind, decisions, challenges, circumstances. And if you just let go of all of that and just and you just allow that peace that goes beyond our understanding, that shalom, that well-being, nothing missing or lacking. And you just sit for a moment in that place of total peace, where there's no worry, there's no anxiety, there's no fear. There's no pressure. Just this sense of, wow. How many of you can sense that now while you're just sitting there? See, that's the great rest. That's the rest of God. This is what we're brought into from this life into this one. How do we live in this place? We know that our old sinful self was crucified with Christ. The power of the sin has lost its power over our lives. We're no longer slaves to sin. We're not driven by sin any longer. We're now set free from that power. And since we died to that old life, we now live in this new life. So how do we live in that new life? A moment by moment relationship with Him. What does that look like? It means, how many thoughts do you have a day? Hundreds, thousands, millions. How many thoughts? And the Bible says that we surrender our thoughts. We submit our thoughts to the Lordship of Christ. That's right. What does that actually mean? How do we do that? There are all kinds of thoughts that go on in our lives all the time. Some of them are fully aligned with the Word. Because when you get the Word in you, we're transformed by the renewing of our minds as we get the Word in us. And as the Word is in us, it becomes part of us. And often we begin then to think the Word. We think with the mind of Christ.
That's right.
Because the Word is in us. But other times we don't necessarily think with the mind of Christ. We think with a reactionary mind or a negative mind, or whatever it might be in the moment. And it's in those moments that we say, hang on a minute, before I go down that rabbit trail and really go off on the deep end for some reason, in an argument or an attitude or whatever, I'm just going to take hold of that thought right now, take it captive. I'm going to grab it. Before I go there, right, Father, I just want to submit that thought right now to your Lordship. I want to submit that to you. I want to submit that afresh so I don't go there. So that I stay in that place of rest and peace. When we go there in our thoughts, we go to this chair of self, and we slide over there sometimes. And often when we don't take captive those thoughts and we let the circumstances or a situation begin to take root or take advantage in our minds and heads, we lose our peace. We become anxious. We get a bit short-tempered and this, that and the other. And how do we respond? How do we come back into this place of rest? We often, sometimes when we're here, we say, God, where are you? Where are you? And He's like, I haven't moved. I'm still here. But you've moved. And how do we get back to that place? We don't say, God, come to where I am. We turn and we say, Father, I ask you to forgive me that I've taken on this pressure. I've taken on these circumstances. I'm trying to sort this out myself. I've lost my peace. I've got annoyed, angry, offended or whatever. So, Father, would you forgive me? I let go of that right now. And as we're doing that, as we respond to Him and talk to Him, what we're doing is we're coming back into this place of rest. Positionally in Christ, you're always here.
Yeah.
But how we express that and live that, we can slide over there if we're not careful. But God's not going to come and meet us in this place here. When we respond to Him and say, Father, I ask you to forgive me, or would you cleanse my heart? He meets us at that point. But when we're doing that, we're coming back to Him, not Him coming to us. If you understand what's going on there. So this living in the rest is a place of trust. See, what God's interested in cultivating in relationship with Him is, do we trust Him? Because when we don't trust Him, what do? We slide over here. I think I can handle this. I think I'll be all right about this. I think I know what to do here. Or we don't want to wait long enough for God. But in this place, you can give things to the Lord and leave them with Him.
Yes.
If we trust Him. How many times do you pray and remind Him of the same thing because you think He's forgotten? I need to remind Him because He's not answering, so I'm going to just nudge Him. You know, do we trust Him? Do we trust Him? God's interested in trust.
That's it.
And He cultivates that in the context of relationship in terms of our lives. Mark chapter 4. Jesus said to the disciples after a lot of ministry, a lot of stuff going on. He said, let's go over, got in the boat, let's go to over to the other side. While they were going across, a storm came up. And they were, the boat was obviously getting swamped, and the disciples started to freak out a bit. And Jesus was asleep. Don't you love that?
Yes.
He lived in a place of rest. He lived in the moment in a place of rest. And the disciples, what did they say to him? They said, they woke him up and said, Jesus, don't you care? Jesus, even though there was a storm, he was asleep. He was living in a place of rest. Others were freaking out around him. Sometimes people can demand things, or there can be a demand on us for some reason, okay, that wants to take us out of a place of rest,
right,
to a place of self or activity or stress or anxiety. That could be our own. It could be other people's.
Yes.
And in that moment, what did he do? He stood up and he rebuked the storm and everything went calm. And he said a couple of things to the guys, you know, like, hey, guys, don't you believe you can take authority over the wind? And, you know, don't be so stressed. One of the things God said to me a few years ago, I was going through a bit of a stressed time for various reasons. And a friend, somebody that I got to know, asked me a question. We were kind of, he said, sit in that chair and just let's spend time in the presence of God. And it was like it was a few minutes ago. He said, what does that feel like? I said, it feels amazing. It's like I never want to leave this place. And I said, this overwhelming sense of God's presence and well-being, and what do you want to call it? And I said, it's just a place of rest and ease. And so we called it the Great Rest. It was like, wow. Then he said, sit in another chair. And he said, now think about all the stuff that you're annoyed with or you're frustrated around you that's doing your head in. Oh, mate. I was like, oh, no. It's horrible, horrible. He said, how do you feel? I said, rubbish. He said, do you want to live there? I said, no chance. He said, right, get up and now sit back in this chair. Right, now sitting there, he said, just give all of that to the Lord, one by one. And it was like just offloading. And he asked me this question. He said, here's a question for you. Do you think you need to know everything that you think you need to know when you need to know it? It was like, yeah, good question. And then it was like the Lord said to me, are you happy not knowing what you think you need to know? Are you happy?
Yes.
And I said to the Lord, well, obviously not, because you wouldn't ask me the question like that, you know. And often, when you live in a place of rest with God, there's a pace to rest, and the pace is peace. When we want to rush ahead of God, we end up there.
Yes.
And often when we're behind God also, we're here. So we want to cultivate this place of rest. So this is who you are in Christ. You're seated at his right hand, at the Father's right hand with Christ. The old has gone, the new has come. You're a new creation. You've been made worthy. It's not a place of striving. It's not a place of stress. It's not a place of trying to get God to love you. He has loved you already. This is a place of living in that love. This isn't also when you spend time with Jesus. This isn't your quiet time in the morning, what we're talking about. It involves that. But this is your life, so that when you live through today, you're living in this place of rest all the time. So you're seated in rest all the time, no matter what you're doing, wherever you go. So it's not a place you live from, it's a place that you live in all of the time.
Amen.
But there's things that we do to stay in that place of rest. We meditate on who he is. We meditate on the word. We take every thought captive. When things are going off around us, sometimes we need to stop in the moment and say, right, if I don't stop and take this thought captive, I'm not going to enjoy this moment or today or whatever it is. I don't enjoy flying, okay, in aeroplanes. I do it because I have to. And some people love flying. They're like, oh, get on a plane. Yeah, come on. And some people love a bit of turbulence, don't they, as well? Oh, I love it when it starts. Oh, yeah, this is cool and all of that. I fly because I have to. And so when we go away, we're going to the States in a few weeks' time, we're going to see Joe and Jess and the kids. And it's a 10-hour flight, you know, and I'm like, oh, I, you know. So when I get on and I get into my seat, I have to sit there and go, right, Father. And I have to make sure I stay here and don't sit there for 10 hours.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And Jane, Megs, whoever else, they sit, you know, they get on there chilled. They're like, oh, you know, all that sort of stuff. And I'm like, let's just get there. Let's just, come on, hurry up. Go, take off early. The sooner we go, the sooner we'll get there. And Jane's like, do you want to listen to worship music? And I'm like, no. And she's like, you know, she's like, you need to. I know, all right, all right. So I have to consciously deal with what's going on up here. There's other stuff I don't even ever think about. I just get on with it. And Jane's like, oh, I don't like this, don't like that. And for me, I'm like, what are you, you know, flying, I have to take every thought captive, right? And so what I just submit, and I don't focus on, it's like, Jesus, I thank you that my life's not finished yet. There are promises yet to be fulfilled. Thank you that turbulence is just a bit of bumpy air, like a bump in the road, right? And it's never as bad as your mind thinks it's going to be, right? You take off, it's cool, you fly, it's cool, there might be the odd little thing here, there, and you land. And at the end you think, why were you so, you stupid idiot. Do you know what I mean? You can be like that with yourself sometimes, okay? Take every thought captive. Right, so Sabbath, what has that got to do with rest? So this is the rest of God in terms of salvation, but God wants us to live in that. Now, Sabbath actually begins in Genesis with creation. God, we'll try and do this in the next few minutes. God creates, 6 days he works, seventh day he rested. He finished all the works and he rested from his work. And he called that day holy, a day of rest. Isn't it amazing with Adam and Eve? So he creates mankind on the sixth day. And the first day that mankind, that Adam has with God, is what? Wow, isn't that cool? That is culture, that is counterculture, okay? Adam didn't live to rest, he lived from rest. So the first day with God was in a day of rest, it was Sabbath with God, that first day. I think God's trying to say something to mankind. Because Sabbath is trust.
That's it.
To rest is trust. We love activity. How many of you are control freaks in the room? More than have put your hands up. Right, okay. We love to be in control. We love to be in control. Sabbath and rest is all about trust and rest and peace. Do I trust him? Okay. From that place. So there's a Sabbath rest of God, which is who you are in Christ. Speaks about this. If you want to read this, read in Hebrews 4, okay? God brings us into, in Hebrews 4, there's several different meanings for the word rest, okay? One is abode, the abode of God, habitation. Somebody in the prayer meeting said, I think it was the prayer meeting, said that God doesn't want us to pray for visitation because we're already living in a place of habitation.
That's right.
So God doesn't just want to visit and then go. We're called to be, he inhabits us. We live with him. So we live in a place of habitation. I love that. So living in rest is a place of habitation, cultivating the presence and the habitation of God in our lives.
Yeah.
Don't you love that?
Yeah, that's good.
And so there's this Sabbath rest, okay, which is the abode of God in our lives. This is the rest of God, your salvation, his salvation in you, okay? But also Hebrews is talking about a rest that is actually ceasing from our, well, there's two parts to this. It is ceasing from our own labor, our own efforts, And we now live in the labour of God. We live in the work of God that He has done for us. So we live in the salvation of who God is. But also within these verses, there is a couple of moments where it's also talking about the rest in terms of resting from our own work. Not just works, as in trying to live life and that, but our work, what we do, and creating space in our lives. Now, the great thing is, as a believer, because we live in that rest, we cultivate that every day. We're not just looking for a Sabbath day that becomes the day of rest, because we live in that place of rest all of the time. Yeah. But God has put into the rhythm of life. It started in creation. Sometimes we think Sabbath is in the law, in the Old Testament, or it's a Jewish thing. Well, Sabbath started the first week of creation. It's a rhythm in life. And so there's a pace in life that God wants us to live in. There's things in the earth that God has put in to do with Sabbath. Every 7 years, the seventh year, you let the ground, you give it a rest. Every 50 years, you give it 2 years rest. You know, there are things in the Bible that are cycles of life that are not just a Jewish thing.
Yes, yes.
In that sense, because sometimes we think that, but actually there's a bigger picture to what God is doing. And He got them, He spoke to them as His people to live in the cycle that He had created for the benefit of who we are as His people.
That's right.
Are you there? Are you with me?
Yeah.
And so it's important that we build into our lives rest, Sabbath, where you do rest from your work, your phone, put it on silent for a bit. When you have meals, have Sabbath at the meal table. You can do that every day. Put your phones away, everybody around the table. Let's talk about life and who God is and what's going on and not get caught up with the stuff of life all the time. Let's Sabbath when we have dinner. I would encourage you to make a space in your week where it could be Friday night, it could be sometime on a Saturday over the weekend, but make some space and time where you really do put everything else on hold. We say, this is time where we're not going to watch telly, we're not going to just fill it with other stuff. Maybe I'm just going to chill out. We're going to just play a game. We're going to have dinner together. We're going to invite people round, and we're just going to be together. Because we live in such a fast-paced world that we're going from one thing to the next. So I want to encourage you to Sabbath in life. I know some of you, and Jane and I do this a lot, Saturdays, if possible, if we're not out and about doing stuff, like speaking somewhere, we say, right, what are we going to do? And often we go, if the weather's all right, we go for a bike ride, we go out, you go to a coffee shop, you go somewhere and you just chill out. While we're out, we don't use our phones. It's like they're in the bag, you know, or the rucksack or whatever, unless we lose where we are and we have to find out where are we so we find out where we're supposed to go next. But it's you have to switch off. That's counterculture.
Yes.
Don't be driven by your emails. Don't be driven by your text messages.
Yes.
Some people think if you don't text me back within 3 minutes, you're being rude. Well, Jesus was in a boat in the storm, and they were upset with him because he was. Well, you don't care, Jesus. I mean, look at Lazarus. He didn't turn up for a few days. Yes. What does that say pastorally to people? Well, you didn't come on a phone. You didn't come when I wanted you. Where were you? You're a pastor. You know, look at where were you? But yet he came a few days later. How rude. How many of you would have been offended with that one? Come on, I'd have stuck my hand up for that. I'd have left the church and gone to another one, right? Come on. There's stuff that we let affect us relationally because of the pace that everybody lives at.
That's it.
Now, I'm not saying we don't love people that's not, you know, Jesus loved, and yet he rocked up 3 or 4 days later. Wow. Get your head around that one. So let's just get back to this. Let's do this. Let's everybody stand, okay? Everybody stand. I know we got to close and we got a few highlights. Everybody stand, okay? What do we want you to do? Think about the thing that is annoying you at the moment. Think about what is upsetting you. You're fearful about, anxious about. You've got to make a decision. There's need or there's lack in the natural, or you're upset with somebody, you're offended, you're annoyed, you're whatever it might be, you're worried about something, you're over here in this one for a moment. Just think about all that stuff, okay? What I want you to do, all of those things now, talk to the Lord. Father, I give you that anxiety. I give you that unrest. I've lost my peace. I'm annoyed with this person. You talk to him, okay? I'm annoyed with this person. I've got offended. Forgive me for taking offense. Forgive me for being annoyed. I'm worried about this diagnosis. I went to the doctors the other day and they said this to me. And that's, I'm worried, I'm being fearful, it's on my mind. Father, I submit to you, I take captive that thought. I give you that right now. I hand it over to you now. My son, my daughter, my mum, my grandpa, whoever it is, I'm concerned about them. I'm worried, there's circumstances, there's stuff going on at work. I don't know what to do, my boss doesn't like me. Or whatever might be going on, I've got a time pressure, I've got a deadline, and I'm not sleeping well. Whatever it is, Father, I give you that right now. I submit that to you. Whatever it is going on. Now what I want you to do is sit in that rest right now. Just sit down in that rest. Just sit right back. Just close your eyes. Just thank Him. Holy Spirit, thank you that I'm with you right now. Thank you that I'm seated in you. Thank you for shalom in my mind, my emotions, my body. Thank you that you're my wisdom for decisions. Thank you that you're my peace in the circumstances. Thank you that you're my healing in the midst of a diagnosis. Thank you that you're my provision in the midst of need. Whatever it is, just thank Him for who He is in the midst of the situation. You see, when you hand everything over and you start thanking Him for who He is in the midst of that, relating to what the truth is, relating to that situation, in a place of peace and rest, it's much easier to then begin to hear the Lord speak to you. But when your heart and your head are going at 1,000 miles an hour in the midst of a circumstance, it's very difficult to hear the Lord in the midst of that, because your mind is racing, your emotions are charged. But you take a few moments to move from there back to here, to a place of rest and peace, of being overwhelmed with Him and not overwhelmed with the situation. In that place, you then begin to hear His voice. You begin to get His leading. And there's a fresh flow of His life. In the place of rest, there is loads of activity, but it's God activity, not our activity. And it's the activity of God in us that produces the fruit of God in us, His nature, His character, His life and power working through us, whatever it is and whatever it looks like. So Jesus, I thank you that you would grace us to cultivate living in this place of rest. Just invite the Lord. Holy Spirit, would you take me on this adventure of living in the great rest? Would you teach me how to do that, what that looks like, to live in that rest daily, throughout the day, in this moment-by-moment relationship with you. So that when stuff comes up, I don't react and slide over there, but instead I respond in a place of peace and wisdom, patience, thankfulness, mercy, grace, love, kindness, gentleness, whatever it is, the life of the Spirit rises and flows through me, comes through me in those moments. Teach me your ways that I may walk in your truth, in who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. There might be some of you here today that don't know Jesus. And we just want to give you the opportunity to respond to him. Maybe you say, yeah, I live in that first chair you were talking about. That's the life I have. And I'm not at peace. I'm not at rest. And what you've spoken about this morning is like, if that's possible, that's the life that I want. I want to be at peace with myself. But I understand that to be at peace with myself, I need to be at peace with God. And so if there's any of you this morning that want to respond to him and say, Jesus, I want to move from this place of being separated from you, out of relationship with you, and I want to move across into a relationship with you. I want to surrender and give my life to you. And that's very, very simple, to take that first step to surrender to him and say, Jesus, I want to give you my life today. I surrender to you today. I want to give you all the good, the bad, and the ugly. I ask you to forgive me. And I ask you to cleanse my life from every sin. Everything that could separate me from you, I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart and my life. And Jesus, I want to give you my life today. And I ask you that you would give me your life in exchange. I thank you for a peace that comes into my life in this moment, beyond my understanding, but I want to begin a relationship with you and live in that great rest that I've heard about this morning. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Now, if any of you have prayed that this morning, everybody's got their eyes closed. Can you just raise your hand if that's your heart this morning? Just want to see where you are, because I'd love to chat with you and pray with you. Anybody responding to the Lord later, just raise your hand so I can see where you are. Anybody else surrendering back to the Lord, say, if you've been away from him and you're coming back to him, if that's you again, just raise your hand so I can see where you are. Anybody this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just thank you that you grace us to live in the great rest this morning. Today, tomorrow, the next day, in all that you want to do, in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. 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 Let's just thank the Lord for who he is and what he's been doing.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.